This is a Siva podcast.
Welcome, Mark Wigley. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Nice to be with you.
We want to speak about whiteness, or as you put it in one of your essays for the ongoing series on Sikh architecture, you called it chronic whiteness. What is chronic? What is the problem with whiteness and architecture?
Well, I suppose this the text for Efflux was trying to say, ask. You know, we always think of whiteness in so many ways, and it would seem impossible for you and I to have a conversation about whiteness in 15 minutes, no? But what if whiteness is a disease, right? What if, you know, normally you think whiteness has all these associations with hygiene, with cleaning, and so on. But what if it's the opposite? What if our problem is whiteness? Whiteness is actually the source of the problem. And so that essay is just trying to think through why it is that again and again and again in the history of architecture, white reemerges. And every time it reemerges, it says that it's a new beginning, a new start. And if you go 10,000 years ago, it's possible to argue, and this is what I say in that essay, that architecture begins with whiteness. That the very first shelters of Neolithic transition, so the moment of domestication of the human species, we produce for the first time architecture, which is to say structures that are detached from the ground with right angles and smooth surfaces and white. They were all lined with this plaster. So architecture begins with whiteness, and this whiteness with which architecture begins is also the beginning of disease, because this new condition, architecture, created a new kind of trans-species environment. For the first time, we lived with other animals and plants in an enclosed interior domestic space, which was white. So this is when tuberculosis, for example, begins. So whiteness, that which we associate with clean, hygiene, etc., is actually the beginning of disease. And there's the paradox. Also, white, the white of the very first structures is antiseptic. So it was. It had these two qualities. White is very dirty and very clean. And of course, we know in our society today, whiteness is a name for everything to be embarrassed about in our society. It is the name for violent exclusions, sending others out as other, sending them down, demonizing, dehumanization. Whiteness is really a kind of, let's say, social disease. This goes back to this first moment, this moment of creating an inside. And when you have an outside, you also must have an, when you have an inside, you must have an outside. So this is the beginning of violence. So I speak too long already, but, you know, what if white is a criminal? Not just in the sense of the white male northern privilege, but yes, all of this. But what if white is a problem, just even aesthetically, even to think the idea of whiteness?
And for modern architecture, one could argue it was the opposite. So it was the moral right, or the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So in a way, you also quoted Le Corbusier. In your essay, Le Corbusier said, whitewash is extremely moral. So I think there's an interesting link to, certainly to hygiene, so that a kind of architecture as a sanitary project, which is clearly linked to a moral impact, to a political impact, to a social impact.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, I mean, this quote, he says precisely that it would be a police action of great integrity if we would invade every apartment of Paris and paint the walls with a white Ripolin. And white Ripolin is a sanitary paint used by hospitals. So it's antibacterial. So you will clean Paris by basically occupying spaces of the laboring poor and paint them white. And yeah, and he says, if you do this, your house will be clean, your body will be clean, but also your mind will be clean. So it is a moral, ethical judgment and a police action. What's so shocking about this statement is that there's nothing original about it. He doesn't invent anything when he says this. In fact, compulsory police actions to whitewash the interiors of the laboring poor has a history going back to the end of the 18th century, always in the face of disease. So actually disease is the very basis for police action. Police action being when the public authority has the right to invade private space. It can invade private space only in the name of health. So I can go in and tell you need a toilet connected to sewage systems because if you don't have this, you can threaten the help of those outside. So the division between public and private is always a medical division, and the whitewash kind of supervises that division. The whitewash says it has been cleaned, and any more dirt will be revealed on this. So the whitewash itself is a kind of police action. So what Le Corbusier is saying is we need the police to go in to put this policing system on your walls. Actually, the room in which you and I are talking has the same white walls exposing us, surveillance. And this, as I say, is done already in the face of chronic epidemic diseases, end of the 18th century. So all the plagues, all the great plagues of Italy are addressed with whitewash. So what happens is you have the disease, the disease is always associated with the poor, it's always associated with skin that is not white, so it is always racialized. So there is always a kind of racial other. Disease itself is thought of as a kind of blackness, right? Even the plague, even this idea of the plague is kind of a blackness. So the white surface in introduced by the police is itself a form of policing, which is revealing, exposing, and disciplining blackness. So when Le Corbusier says this in 1923 for the first time, and he repeats it many times, he's echoing exactly the logic of sanitary reform of the 19th century, which is echoing 18th century, 17th century, 16th century. And I just want to say it goes all the way back 10,000 years to the very first whitewash. If you look at the history of architectural theory, it is always a history of how to produce a white surface. Vitruvius is receiving in his 10 scrolls of the time of Augustus Caesar, he gives incredibly precise instructions how to make a white surface, how it must be super smooth, and clean. And he does so as part of his argument about health and so on. Alberti in the 15th century repeats exactly the same arguments. They're both very obsessed with shit, with sewage. We need to get rid of anything foul, anything black. Right? So architecture is white, let's say from the beginning. And let's be clear, it's not white because it's painted white. It's architecture only in as much as it's white. And this is a bit more difficult to say, but it is not simply the white surfaces of architecture that make it white, but its complicity in exclusion. So the whiteness of architecture is in the rendering of something else black. You don't need a white, super white, white, supremely white, white supremacist architecture. It doesn't have to be actually white. It has to blacken, to exclude, to other, to move people, insects, technologies, ways of thinking out and down. So an outing and a downing. And this outing and downing produces a space. And this space is occupied by a mythical human. So the white is a kind of important part of an argument, a kind of dream of an idealized human. And this human is, if you like, perfectly white, whiter than any white person. And of course, this is the other paradox that white is never white enough. I mean, white is a kind of is never satisfied even with itself, right? So white surfaces and white arguments are always made by people whose skin is not as white as the white itself. So actually the superhuman is that white surface. And this is the logic, right? So you have this disciplinary logic where whiteness is the system of disciplining that produces an idealized human. Remember, of course, what you can never find in nature is a right angle or a straight line. So when humans made themselves human by making spaces 10,000 years ago that were straight lines and right angles, for the first time is this claim of human exceptionalism. We are not like the world outside. So the first construction of an interior is not just a room, let's say a space, but is the idea that inside us, human, outside nature, right? So this distinction, which is made with architecture, right? So the beginning of architecture is the beginning of a kind of claim of a kind of human exceptionalism, and human already constructed in this human being, that which creates this kind of interior. So if we run all the way back, very, very fast, all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century, Le Corbusier is invoking this logic, which is explicitly fascistic, and of course his fascistic tendencies are, let's say, well known, so he's an easy target. But when you consider the fact that he says nothing original, and in fact whitening interiors is the very basis of police power, very basis of public control of private property, brains, bodies, and so on, then we realize it's not so much his fascism that is the issue, but let's say the fascism of architecture as a way of thinking. And here, maybe the most important thing is that when Le Corbusier introduces his idea of what he calls the morality of white, the morality of whiteness, he discovers this whiteness in the land of the not white. His so-called voyage to the Orient, 1911, he explicitly goes mainly to Turkey, but also Greece. Why he goes? To look for white, because he has learned that the whiteness is a vernacular property of the architecture of the so-called East. And he goes there, and he's a bit disappointed. He says, not as white as he thought, but he deeply admires. So basically his argument is, or at least this is what I would like to say, he recognizes that white is the invention of black skins, that white is actually invented by those that are not white, but this thing they have invented, which would be true, of course, of the Neolithic structures as well, white is invented by those that are not white, but what the not white invents is a kind of a whitening system that will be ultimately turned, as it were, against the inventor. So Le Corbusier is going to say there is something very, very beautiful in the world of those who don't have white skins. They made whiteness. But now they have been ruined by us with our stupid industrial culture and so on, and they are losing touch with their authentic traditions of whitewashing, of the mosques, of every house. They are losing this. So we actually have to come back and tell them to do it. It's the ultimate colonial gesture. We find in black culture whiteness, we extract that from them, and then use it to punish them by making them. They are them, right? So this is the logic of Le Corbusier is to acknowledge, and he explicitly acknowledges that white is the invention of those that are not white. He mythologizes them. He is envious of them. He is jealous of them. But he is also not white enough. Nobody is white enough. And so he embraces this kind of, as it were, whitening system, which as a system of control. So very, very complex dynamic where you extract from those you see yourself to be superior to the very source of the of your superiority. You know, so it's really a kind of... it's really extraction in the most obvious kind of way. In space, like it's to go to the south, to go to the east, to take and bring back what will be uniquely of the West, uniquely of the male, uniquely of privilege, of culture, of civilization, uniquely of the 21st century. And yet this thing will be ancient. So he says white is modernity, right? It's still to this day. If I make something white, it will be thought to be modern. And why is it modern? Because it recovers this prehistorical quality of the white. And maybe just to finish this sort of speech, so again, we are in the deep paradoxes of the white. White is always repeated. White is not a thing, but a kind of repetition. White is, it's always about the rewhitening, and every whitening is seen to be, as it were, for the first time. So what white is thought to have is a kind of trans-historical quality. It is the zero. It is how to construct, to labor, to produce a kind of zero. So if you agree with anything that I'm saying, right, and, you know, no reason for that, white then is really a disease of the deepest kind, not simply a disease that you have been infected by and you can think of some kind of cure, because your very idea of infection and your very idea of cure, the infection to be invaded from the outside, the cure to remove, to expel, this is the very logic of white. So whiteness is, let's say, part of even our concept of health and a concept of cure and our concept of disease. So when I say white is a disease, it's not not an easy one.
Thank you so much, Mark Wegley.
You've been listening to a Siva podcast.